Whether it's comedy, action adventure, drama, horror, and everything else in between, all movies at least have one thing in common. They all share a message with you. This is Movie Night Apologetics, where I, movie apologist Clark, review and examine movies and their messages from a Christian perspective. Well, what is up, movie lovers? Welcome back to the Movie Night Apologetics podcast. And we are going over and we're starting a new series called Hollywood Heroes. And we're going to be covering so much of the heroes that we see on the big screen, like Captain America, Iron Man, Lord of the Rings, Batman, Wonder Woman. A lot of these characters that we see. And what I really want to do throughout this series, and what I really do throughout this whole podcast, is I want to show you the goodness of God in the movies we watch, and in the series to show you the goodness of God in the heroes that we see on the big screen. And so today we're going to be talking about Captain America and the one sacrifice Captain America won't make. And I'm going to be talking about that more towards the end of this episode, because I want to just kind of talk about who he is first off. Because I got to ask you a question. Like, when I'm thinking of Captain America as a hero, like, I'm just honest with you, I don't really know what superpower he has. We know that he was weak when he got to be in the super soldier program thingy, but like, what, like, I'm gonna be honest, what is his superpower? Because he doesn't have the ability to fly, he doesn't shoot lasers out of his eyes, he doesn't run at lightning bolt speed, he doesn't become invisible. Like, I don't know what he is. He's not even rich, and he's not reliant on money, and he's not able to make super cool suits like Iron Man or Batman. And so what I'm getting at is, like, what is he known for? I mean, even the little power that he does have, we don't really know him for, because when I'm reading through this book, Hollywood Heroes, and this is a book that I'm going to be kind of referencing throughout the series, by Frank Turek and his son Zach Turek, that are talking about these superheroes. I love what Zach Turek, or Frank Turek, says about this. It says, instead of physical power, what we really, and this is my emphasis, what we really know Captain America and what we know for his superpower is his moral character and devotion to his cause are the greatest assets. Because again, we don't know him for his strongness. We know him because we know that he's going to make the right choice at the right time. So for example, like, his choice of weapon, I mean, it's not a gun, it's not a bow and arrow, it's not something that can take somebody's life away, but rather his weapon of choice is a shield. And what are shields used for? They're shields to protect people. That's what his weapon of choice is to be a defender of people. And not only that, but one of the most intriguing things I think about with Captain America is that he didn't have the strength or the big muscles to be able to protect people. In fact, when we're introduced to him for the first time, I think this movie was made in 2011, we see him as this scrawny guy who looks like you can just like snap him like a twig with your fingers. But even though that he was skinny and that he was weak, he wanted to be enlisted in the army because, and I wish I could share with you the clip, but unfortunately I'm locked out of Disney Plus right now and I don't know my login password. But there's this clip where he's asked, you know, why do you want to go into the army? He's like, you know, like, do you want to go in to kill Nazis? And he responds and he says, you know, I don't want to kill anyone. I just don't like bullies. And I love that. It's not about killing for Steve Rogers. It's not about him being enlisted, to him taking vengeance on these Nazis that are killing Jews and killing multiple lives, but rather to defend and protect the vulnerable. And this is why Steve is chosen over Hodge for the super soldier program. Because remember, there was Hodge, there was that soldier that one general was like, well, why don't you choose him? He's a much better candidate. Like, look at him. He's all big and muscular and he knows how to get stuff done. Like, that's the guy for the job. And the one science guy dude's like, nope, I see something more in Steve than that guy. We see that in the scene, the general, he throws a fake grenade and everyone else runs, but Steve Roger, he is like, nope, I'm going to sacrifice my own life to save these other people. And so the science guy, I can't remember his name, basically what he was thinking was validated through that action, because that's where his heart was. Like, Steve was there to sacrifice himself when needed. Whereas the other guy, Hodge, yeah, he looked all super muscly and all that. But guess what? When danger came, when it was time for him to shine, he cowered in fear and ran behind the truck to avoid the grenade blowing up. Whereas Steve, being weak, he decided to cast his own life into it. And thankfully, the grenade wasn't real. Obviously, there's a point there. But that's just, we see that the science guy, the doctor guy, he knew, he was looking at the heart, not the appearance. And in the book of Samuel, actually, in chapter 16, Samuel, he's looking for this new king to anoint because the previous king Saul failed to obey the commands God asked of Saul. And this is actually what it says in 1 Samuel 16, in chapter 6. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So there you go. We see in the same way that, you know, God, he's not looking on outward appearance, but he's looking at the heart of people. And the same is true in this, where Dr. Erskine saw Steve Rogers and he said, you know what? Yeah, he may be weak. He may not look like, but because of his heart, I know that when he receives that power, he is still going to be who he is. And that's honestly, that's what I love. I remember when this movie came out, and I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I do remember watching it the first time, and I remember just not really liking it. And now looking back at it, I mean, there's just so much there to grab a hold of that we really need. There's so much wisdom in that, where we often, as times, we look at people's outward appearance. I think of it like in church culture a lot, where we're like, oh, you know, this guy, he's super charismatic and he knows how to speak and he knows how to like get the crowd amped up and whatnot. But then I'm thinking like, well, I mean, is it really about that? Or is it about a person's heart, where they want to be submitted to God's word and they want to show Jesus who he is? They don't want to be like this guy that's just going to amp people up. Like, they're concerned about the hearts of people. So, I don't know, it just made me think of, we need to really look at people's hearts and their fruit rather than just this superficial outward appearance and things. And so now we're going to get kind of to the second point and like who Captain America is. But this second point is really good, and it's really foundational for us to know the character and nature of God, especially through the person and work of Jesus. Because what Captain America offers us, unlike Iron Man, who has this super character arc where he goes from this like playboy billionaire to now like at through the end of the end game where he finally like gives his life for people, Captain America is consistent with this character throughout all the Avenger and Marvel movies. Basically, there's no moral conflict about him. His moral compass is consistent. We're never worried with him with whether he's going to do the wrong thing, even when he goes against other heroes like in Civil War. And side note on that, I am going to be doing Captain America on like kind of like a two-part series with this, because I really want to talk about Civil War and discuss just how Civil War relates to secondary issues in the church. I think it's vitally important for us to know. And I've already kind of discussed on it in some episodes past on secondary issues. But I think it's just a good reminder for us. And so that's kind of what I'm going to be covering the next episode, is on the Civil War and secondary issues in the church. But in this way, Steve Rogers, with his moral change, like him staying consistent, is a lot more in the line with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because we see in Hebrews 13:8 saying Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Like Jesus, he never changed. He never changes morally. One, because he is himself is the standard of morality, and God in his nature, he cannot sin, right? He can't one minute say, we're going to do this, and another minute say, nah, it's okay, because he's not going to approve sin, even if our culture gets more approving. And that's kind of like, you know, thinking about it, we're into Pride Month right now, and I don't want to come on the podcast week in and week out, episode in, episode out, and just like, you know, shoot off the gun about the LGBT community and all that and how it's wrong. But, you know, at certain moments like this, I think, you know, we're entering into Pride Month, and now we're talking about how Captain America, he doesn't have moral change. Like, he's super consistent, just like with Jesus. He's super consistent with who he is. And Jesus is very clear on this issue with, like, sex and marriage. You know, so, like, for example, with, like, June is Pride Month, a month of celebrating the LGBT community. And we know as Christians that while Jesus loves these people, and he does, and wants them to repent, to rethink their views on sexuality and change their ways on it, he will not change his position. The standard he lays out in Genesis and in the Gospels and in, even in the epistles, is sex between one man and one woman in a covenant relationship with each other in marriage. And basically anything sexual outside of that is sin. And again, this isn't picking on the LGBTQ plus people, because this applies to people in the heterosexual relationships as well. You know, like, Jesus would not condone people watching pornography. Jesus would not condone people having sex outside of a covenantal marriage. He would not condone people living with their boyfriend or girlfriend and being intimate, right? He is going to stay consistent on that and be like, no, sex needs to be defined in a marriage between one man and one woman. And that's that. Like, his standards don't change on that issue. And so for me, like, being a heterosexual guy who's in a, I think it's called monogamous relationship with my wife, he would not condone me watching pornography. He would not condone me lusting after women, other women, right? Like, he wants me to be, like, sexually pure within my marriage. And so Jesus has reign over my sex life. He has reign over other people's sex lives that are not heterosexual. So I don't come on here to pick on that. I'm just saying that, listen, Jesus calls everyone to walk in obedience with him, whether you're heterosexual or whether you're in a homosexual relationship. He calls us to walk in the way that he said to walk. Like, and this isn't me saying this. This is what God's word says. And so if you're like, oh, I have a problem with this guy, well, I'm sorry. I'm just showing you what my Lord and Savior says and how he defines it. And he's not changing on this issue. And so as we enter Pride Month and you wrestle with this, like, I just want you to look at the words of Jesus, and that he actually has a better way for you, and that he wants you to live sexually pure and to walk in obedience with him. And yeah, it's hard. Like, it's been hard for me. I've struggled, you know, I was addicted to pornography for 10 plus years or more than that, actually. And it's only been within the last couple of years that I've really made, really good strides in that area. I'm not saying, like, I'm perfectly sinless and I don't lust anymore. I do, but I'm walking way more in obedience, and it's so much more freeing and so much more life-giving. And I'm so glad that we don't have a God who morally changes. I'm so thankful for that, because I wouldn't want a God who changes his standards. When I'm walking with him and pursuing him, I want him to be consistent with what he says in his word. Consistency like this is amazing, because when I walk with him, I feel secure knowing he's not a liar. He's not going to change or any will. Yeah. So you get what I'm saying. He promises for those who follow him to walk in repentance and faith. Like, all those promises are yes and amen. Like, we will never have to wonder if he will become corrupt or go back on his promises for those who follow him. Like, we love superheroes that are like Captain America, aren't, like, that they don't experience this moral change, that they're always going to stick to the same path. But yet, when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the ultimate hero, we're like, man, I wish he would change on these things. Why? I guess the answer to that is because, you know, we're sinners and we want to do what we want to do. But man, I just think I'm glad we have a God who doesn't change. He's consistent by what he teaches in scripture. And for me, as a person who keeps sinning and keeps making these dumb mistakes, as I still do, I still make mistakes, I still sin, I still fall short of the glory of God. I'm really glad that he is true and he's faithful and he's consistent, and that when I fall and when I stumble, I have an advocate of the Father, Jesus Christ. Like, I have, you know, through his son, like, there is someone there to advocate for me and to back me up. He's not going to be like, well, man, well, crud. You know what? Yeah, you kind of screwed up this time. I'm out. I'm done. I'm done with you. Like, you screwed up so much. So that's it. It's over. No, he's unchanging. He's like, no, I'm with you to the end. We're going to work this out. We're going to get through this. I'm going to help you. I sent you a helper, the Holy Spirit. We're going to work through this. You're going to grow. You're going to get sanctified. I'm not going to change my views, but you're going to change yours, and I'm going to help you change your ways. So I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is like that. And I'm thankful that we see Captain America being an example and a pointer for us to the person of Jesus Christ. And now another example of why Captain America, like, is kind of like Jesus. I guess, like, you know, I honestly should title this episode, Why Captain America is Like Jesus. I mean, I'm just going to be honest there. Maybe I should title it like that. But instead of, like, the one sacrifice Captain America wouldn't make, maybe that would be a better episode title, but who knows. Maybe I'll change it. But one of the other reasons why Captain America is like Jesus is because he's on a team and in a battle just like you and I are. So, for example, like Captain America, he's got the team of Avengers. He's got Thor. He's got Iron Man. He's got the Hulk, Black Widow, all these different team members that have definitely different personalities and definitely different gifts, for sure. And we see that with Jesus, man. He forms a team of 12 when he comes. He's like, all right, who's going to be on my team? Fisherman. Yeah, Peter, got you. Let's see. Matthew, the tax collector. A zealot. Like, you're going to put a zealot and a tax collector together. You're going to put two bickering brothers together and others who literally changed the world because Jesus is the king of the world. And so you have these guys who are just all over the map, and yet they because they are following Jesus, they are following the king of the world, they changed the world as we know it. There's actually a book that I picked up when my wife and I went to Missoula this past weekend, and it's called Dominion by Tom Holland. And no, it's not the Spider-Man character. I know we're talking about movies and actors, but Tom Holland, he's at least, as far as I know, a historian, but he wrote this book called Dominion, and it's basically how Christianity has literally changed the world. And it's a very thick book. I haven't read it. I've read a few pages, but my pastor, he's read it, and he says it's one of the better books he's read, outside the Bible, of course. And I may plug that also in if you're just like a super nerd and you like history, because that would be a great book for you to read. Just how much like these 12 men and like the true disciple, like the head disciple, whatever the teacher Jesus, changed the world. And I love what Frank Turek and his son Zach Turek put in The Hollywood Heroes and Captain America on this chapter. He says Christianity is not just fire insurance. It's not just about avoiding hell and getting into heaven. We shouldn't be lounging around waiting for our bodies to break down so we can be admitted to heaven. We're supposed to be spiritual warriors for Christ, invading enemy territory and rescuing as many as possible by inviting them into God's kingdom. And again, like I said, back in Well Part 2, you don't have to be a street preacher or a door-to-door evangelist or talk with strangers to do that. While you most certainly can't do that, you can also just share with close family members and friends and coworkers the good news of Jesus, like who you know Jesus as through the Bible, and like share with them the good news that they can be and they have their sins forgiven and they can be reconciled to God. Like, that's what changed the world, really, is the good news of Jesus Christ. Like, these 12 men, they brought the good news all throughout the world, and it's still going all throughout the world. And so you can do that. And I would say this, that if you're in a rut, you're thinking, man, I just show up to my job, I press some buttons, my life's not really fulfilling, maybe I should get a new job. Now, I would just say this, like, if you're a Christian, God has given you gifts and abilities to witness to people. I really do. And he's placed you in that job where you can share with people who Jesus is. He really has. And so if you're really finding it hard to be like, being on a team with Jesus, like you're on the team. Like, if you're a Christian, you're on the team. You're not a fan. You're not a spectator looking at the elites, the pastors and the missionaries. No, you are in the battleground. You are on his team, and you are there to share his kingdom with others. And I would just say, if you're in a rut right now, ask God to give you this perspective to see that your job matters. Like, you working your job matters so much. Like, honestly, you may be thinking, well, you're on a podcast and you tell people this and you're doing good. Like, what am I doing? Pressing buttons. Guess what? I couldn't do this. You couldn't hear this right now if it were not for other people with gifts that I don't have in engineering, to allow you to be able, for me to speak into your life. Because guess what? I don't have the gifts and the abilities to create this microphone in front of me. I don't have the gifts and abilities to create this computer in front of me, right? Your job matters so much, and within that job, you can witness to other people who have those gifts. And so think of your job as just this mission field to be like, man, like, what do you think about God? Like, I know who God is. Like, do you know who God is? Like, he's revealed himself to me through the person work of Jesus. What do you think about Jesus? And like, start asking those questions. So that way you're, get out of this rut of like, oh, I'm just pressing buttons, not being fulfilling. Like, so that's all I ask. So just think of in your walk, in your Christianity, of like, you're on a team and you're on a good team, and he is going to steer and guide you and direct you. And yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to take some discipline, but man, discipline is good for us. Everything that we see in life, everything that we love in life, is made because of discipline. This microphone, for example, that I'm speaking into, someone had the discipline enough to spend hours upon hours upon hours of who I will never meet, creating this thing. And I love that they had discipline to make this. And so, discipline's hard. To go and join and be on Jesus' team means discipline. But guess what? Discipline is very rewarding. Yes, it's very taxing, but it helps. It really is life-giving to us. So anyways, that's all I would say on that part. And now we're going to get into kind of the sacrifices that Captain America made, right? So the first level of sacrifice that we see from Captain America is Cap, his refusal to take the easy way out to preserve himself. So, for example, like Infinity War, Cap refuses to let Vision kill himself so that the stone near Vision's brain doesn't get, because Vision, he was trying to kill himself because if he killed himself, the stone would kill himself. But if Thanos got that stone, he could potentially wipe out half the world like he was going to, but Cap, he did not want to sacrifice Vision for that. Which, I don't know, I mean, Vision wanted to do it, so I don't understand his reasoning on that. Like, if he wanted to do it, just let him do it. Like, Cap sacrificed himself to save everyone, why not? Anyways, that's a different discussion. I don't really know the answer to that one, but my thinking is, if the dude wants to sacrifice himself, let him sacrifice himself. But anyways, Cap, he did not want to do that. Cap knows full well by not allowing Vision to do this may cost him his life down the line and honestly countless of others. Again, it's not a perfect analogy, but you get what I'm saying. He is willing to sacrifice himself even if it's at the cost of his own life. So second level of sacrifice is in Civil War, we find out that the person who killed Iron Man's parents was Cap's best friend, Bucky, who was brainwashed. And Tony, man, he is just hell-bent on taking revenge, but Captain America knows that Bucky wouldn't do that in his right mind. And he says to Bucky, he's like, you know what, I'm with you until the end. Like, remember what we said about Jesus, he's not changing. When we become believers and followers of him, like, he's with us until the end, no matter how bad we screw up. And so he's with Bucky until the end. And so both Iron Man and Cap are battling it out towards the end of this, and Cap is sticking up for his friend. And just, you know, again, Tony is out for revenge. I mean, I can totally understand Tony in this. Like, if someone killed my parents, like, I'd be out for it too. Out for them too. Another great quote by Frank Turek in his book, Hollywood Heroes. He says, Jesus does the same thing for us. The Father's perfect justice demands that you be punished for your sin, but Jesus has compassion and agrees to take the fury for you. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what you do now or in the future. So like Captain America, Jesus urges you to trust in him, follow him, and do good to others. And he's not going to abandon you because of your bad behavior. In fact, it's precisely because of your bad behavior that you need him. If any of us were perfect, we wouldn't need a savior. And so I love that quote. So like Cap, Jesus sticks up for us no matter what the cost. So the third level of sacrifice that Captain America is like Jesus is Captain America sacrifices himself for people he has never met. So in the first Captain America movie, we see him with like these two different options. He can either bail out of the plane, live and be with the girl he loves while seeing millions of people die in New York, or he can crash bomb the plane into the frozen ocean and sacrifice himself for the people he never met. And I think, you know, we just got past Memorial Day where we're celebrating the people who lost their lives for us. And most people think that joining the army, they sacrifice their lives for the millions of people they never met. But most of the vets would tell you who survived, like they, and that received the Medal of Honor, they would say that they really were sacrificing themselves to save their buddies and not the faceless lives they will never meet. And so it's exceedingly rare when a person gives their life for people they don't know. And, you know, Captain America did that. But here we go. Here is one final fourth sacrifice that Captain America wouldn't make that Jesus most certainly did. And here it is, that Captain America would never die for his enemies, but Jesus died for his enemies, us. So in Romans 5:7-3, it says, Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Sinners are everyone. They are you and me who decide to do stuff our way rather than God's way. So we are all by nature enemies of God. If you lied, stolen, looked at a woman with lust, you know, haven't loved the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you coveted, you disobeyed your parents, right? All those Ten Commandments things. We've all fallen short of that. I most certainly have. And back in Romans 1, Paul actually makes this list about how people don't love God. And they suppress the truth about God, even though they see his wonderful, beautiful creation. And because they deny his existence, God hands them over to their desires. He's like, all right, you know what? You guys are sinful, you're rebellious, and you reject me. I'm going to just let you do that. I'm going to let you see how your sin, how there's consequences to sin. And so this is what Paul says at the end of Romans 1. He says, "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women who were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do not what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them." And did you catch in the middle of that whole list, in that long list, smack dab in the middle of it, was descriptions of haters of God? And even though we were haters, because that's what the Bible says, like, we by nature are haters of God, Christ came and died for us still. And getting to the closing of this whole thing, we admire superheroes that don't change. We admire superheroes that sacrifice themselves for the greater good of mankind, because they're, you know, because like Captain America, like, that's what Captain America does. It's what we've been talking about. And, you know, the unfortunate part of this whole thing, and the fortunate part, is Captain America ain't real and neither is Thanos. But because of Captain America and because of Thanos, I can point you to some really profound truths here. And that is, the ultimate hero that we have is Jesus. And there's a bigger threat than Thanos wiping out millions of people. The bigger threat is our sin that leads to death and separation from God. And Jesus came to sacrifice himself, the ultimate hero, so that we could be reconciled to God, who made everything you see and know, every, and he knows every secret you have, every sin that you've done. And yet he still died on the cross so that through placing your faith in him, you can still spend eternity with God the Father and everything. So, like I said earlier, my wife and I, we were up in Missoula, and it was just for a vacation. We dropped our kids off with my sister-in-law's house and her husband, and we've been talking for past few months now, having a newfie, and I'll get why, like, this newfie story is a clear, well, maybe it's not very clear, projection of, like, the gospel, but I, you know, just go with me because I want to tell the story. It's a fun story. Anyways, we're talking about a newfie, and I'm like, all right, hypothetically, and I didn't know about this yet, but I said, hypothetically, if we found a, you know, chocolate newfie, I don't know, a couple years old, potty trained, great with kids, great with livestock, you know, on the market for a substantially less amount than what a puppy is worth, would you be open to getting one sooner rather than later? And she's like, okay. But that's hypothetical. That's not going to happen. Well, one evening before we were going to this burger joint, I was scrolling through Craigslist, and I was scrolling, and I put in Newfoundland dog, and I saw one. And I was like, whoa! I'm blown away. It was a chocolate newfie, and it was great with kids, great with livestock, $75. I kid you not. And we're like, okay, let's go see this dog. And we're telling the hotel person, like, hey, you know, do you allow dogs here? They do. It's $25. And we're like, yeah, the dog we're getting is a really super good deal. And she turns and she looks at us. She's like, well, you better be asking questions. Like, $75 where dogs originally like a couple thousand dollars. Like, you better be asking some questions. And we're like, yeah, it's fine. And, you know, look at that. It's fine. It's just a single mom that needed to get rid of a dog. Like, she can't handle a dog. The dog barks, whatever. Well, we go there. Guess what? I did not need to ask questions, at all. Cause it's pretty self-explanatory of why the dog was cheap. And it was basically because the dog wanted to rip my head off every time I made a little noise or a little move. Like, I'm serious. Like, that dog did not like strangers. Absolutely did not. I mean, it would go ruff, 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 and like lunge at me. It wanted to tear my head off. And why is this story important? Because so many people in our lives say, you know, you get what you pay for. In that case, that was true. You got what you paid for. Like, you know, you want a $2,000 pup? Well, it's going to be a good pup because there's not going to be any issues with it. You'll want a $75 two-year-old newfie? Well, there's going to be some problems with it, right? You get what you pay for. And so many people tend to think you want, like, who are very hesitant with the fact that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the eternal Son of God, he offers himself as a living sacrifice. He dies in place for our sin. He rises up from the dead. He literally conquers death, literally paid the price that we did not deserve, could not, like, we don't deserve what he did. And he offers us salvation as a free gift. And some skeptics would say, I get what you pay for. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's that good if it's a free. Like, this dog was practically free. Actually, it was free. It said $75, but when we got there, the lady said, you know, I'm just giving them away at this point. You know, that's what you get for free. But with Jesus, it's different. Like, I mean, you can read Revelation yourself. You can read the Bible yourself. It's a free gift. Like, at the end of the greatest book on earth, he's like, you want to come? It's free. You want your sins forgiven? It's free. The sacrifice has been made. You no longer have to work for your salvation. It's free right here. All you have to do is rethink, repent, which means rethink, turn around, and trust in Jesus for your sins. And then you're on the team. You'll walk with him in obedience, and you follow him and do as he commands. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It says in the scriptures, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Remember, like, this isn't an outward to inward thing. This is an inward to outward thing. Like, our hearts change. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Your heart changes. With all your mind changes. Your soul changes. And then guess what? Outwardly, you produce acts of fruit, right? Like, you love your enemies. You live, you live in sexual purity. You get what I'm saying. Like, it's not like, okay, well, I need to be pure. So, I got to abandon the porn and have Jesus. And that way I can have Jesus love me. No. He already loved you before you even knew about him. He did. And now he's offering you eternal salvation so that you can live with him. You can live with God forever and not be separated. And now his love for you changes your heart. It says in Romans 2, it's like the kindness of God. It leads us to repentance. And so this sacrifice that Jesus makes should lead us to repentance and change and to follow him and to love him and to be obedient to him. Again, not perfectly, but we're going in that direction, right? So that's all I want to say. Like, yeah, there's the old saying, you get what you pay for. But with Jesus, it's quite different. It's a free gift. You can trust it. He's unchanging. Like, he's not going to change in this. It's always been free. That part's amazing. He's not going to change that. He's not going to be one moment it's free and the next it's... This isn't a sale going on. This is right now. If you reject him right now and later, 50 years down the line, you make a turn, it's still going to be free. He does not change. It's going to be free always. But are you willing to say, my life is yours? I accept this free gift. I want to be a son, to be a daughter of yours. I want to follow you, Jesus. It's free. It's free. He doesn't change. You can be on the team. He sacrificed for you. Do you want it? You can either be an enemy of God, or you can either be a child of God. Which one do you want? That's the question that I want to leave you with today. Thank you guys so much for listening. Next week we'll be on the Civil War movie, Captain America Civil War. It's one of my favorite Marvel movies out there for multiple different reasons, but we're going to be talking about that next week and super excited about that. Thank you guys. And again, if you can just share this podcast with a friend, family member, or coworker, because people are more likely to listen if they are recommended to by someone they know and trust. And if you can just rate it 5 stars too, because people who are searching for movie podcasts, they'll be able to find it better if it's rated. So please do that. I would just love that. Thank you guys again. Great episode. Look forward to next time. And with that, like my friend Blaine always says, don't party too hard without me. Bye. Catch you guys later. Whether it's at home or at the movie theaters, Movie Night Apologetics exists to help you, the listener, know the Christian worldview through the movie's messages. I am movie apologist Clark, and this is Movie Night Apologetics Podcast.